All right, Mr. Johnson, you asked the notion, which team is under more pressure? 4-3 Falcons visiting 4-3 Tampa Bay, both teams with three losses, both teams with one NFC loss and two AFC losses, so they're basically identical as far as all tie-breaking scenarios.
Except for
the head-to-head.
That's right, in the division.
And I think that's an important part of this conversation, right, and thinking about it kind of on the way in this morning, kind of weighing where the Falcons are at, because I think that this is a critical game. I think it's a critical game for both teams. I do look at Tampa and probably think they are under a little more pressure. I think Atlanta's under a pressure from the fan base to kind of get right in a couple of categories, right? You want to see offensive efficiency. You want to see the third down, numbers continue to climb. You want to see your ability to defend the pass on all levels continue to kind of evolve, your ability to defend the run. Tampa, when you look at it and coming off losing their two biggest stars, and also the fact that Atlanta already has the tiebreaker against them, you feel like you have to get this one at home, I think, if you're Tampa Bay and you have eyes at all on winning the division.
And Tampa Bay's got to go to Kansas City next week.
Yes. And here's the thing. I'll say this. If Tampa wins, and I'd have to pull back up the schedule for me. I remember thinking it yesterday. If Tampa were to win, it's almost like you don't even care what happens the next couple of weeks if you're a Tampa fan, because you got a bye week coming up. You're going to play Kansas City, but it's like, it is what it is. And then they're down the stretch after their bye week. It's not awful for them. They have a couple of opportunities out there with the way their schedule kind of lines up at the back end. So, but I do think that there is a lot weighing on this game for Tampa. I think they're going to throw everything they have at this game, and I think unfortunately for them, they are missing their two biggest stars, and that's going to be an uphill climb.
How many times have you seen, especially if you're a Falcons fan, you go play a team, they're hobbled, they're missing two or three of their biggest stars per se. And somehow through hook or crook, something weird happens, and that team that's hobbled ends up beating the Falcons.
Oh, we're star makers. The Atlanta Falcons have been star makers, dude. There's no doubt about it. Am I wrong about that?
I think star makers. I would love to go sit in another city for maybe a season and see how fans feel about their teams, because I feel like the Braves are star makers. Every time the Braves play a new pitcher, they face a new pitcher, the guy looks like Fernando Valenzuela against them. Like, he's like, you've never heard of the guy, and all of a sudden he's throwing, eight scoreless in his first outing, and you're like, what the hell is going on here? With the way the game was, where 66 total points was scored in the last outing, you went into overtime, the offense is 500 yards of offense from 500 yards of passing from Kirk Cousins. Baker Mayfield was a pedestrian, 19 of 24 for 180 yards and three touchdowns. Do you feel like this game might be a slow grind?
Oh, yeah.
Like the over-under for this game, I was just looking at these over-unders, and there's some crazy over-unders.
Is it 41 or something like that?
45.5. I almost want to take the under. Because I think,
what goes up must come down.
There's no way that they just have a dial-a-score game again, right?
No. But with their two best receivers out, and Tampa Bay's discovered their running game.
Yeah, and we have too as of late. We've ran the ball well as of late too.
Two and a half hour game on Sunday.
I'm just so curious, to your point, what their plan is for Vita Vea, because he did control Ryan Neuzel, and with Ryan Neuzel hobbled and there are questions around him, there's got to be a game plan for how you want to attack that. I can't imagine
run away from him.
Well, and that's the thing. I think usually wide zone, which we are known for, is kind of meant to attack guys like Vita Vea. It's like, well, you can't cover sideline to sideline. And then he kind of disrupted everything we were trying to do with that last time out. So I can't imagine they go back in with the same game plan and say, Ryan, you just got to play better. You know what I mean? Like, that's probably not a good idea. So I did notice that Baltimore, not specifically last week, Baltimore started to implement some of their Wham-style plays where you kind of crack back on interior defensive lineman with like your H-back, like a Charlie Warner. I think that would be kind of cool to see. I don't know that we do any of that or even have that in the game plan or the system, period, but that's kind of how you could go about doing it. But it just the things that you usually do to get dominant defensive linemen off kilter like that, we don't do a ton of. And I'm talking about, running back screens and draws and things like that. It's just seldom sprinkled in.
And I think, to me, that's my number one key offensively, is figure out how to block 50. That is, if you ask me what's the number one thing we got to do on offense, get a hat on 50. Don't let him change the game, because guess what? He got a sack last time. I know it was a weird thing where Bijan somehow got maxed up on him, but it's not supposed to happen. But to me, he's the He's the difference maker because he opens everything up for guys like Levante David and KJ Britt and Yaya Diaby, like, you know, Tyron Shoyinka. Like, it is all about how you handle Vita Vea and Kalijah Kansi up front, and then it completely opens everything up for those guys. So get a hat on him. That's my number one thing to do. And if I was on, if you asked me defensively, what do you got to do? Got to slow down that three-headed monster.
Imagine Bijan Robinson being confronted with the notion of Vita Vea. It's like, good
oh,
Lord.
He was confronted with it. Yeah. He opted out, which I don't blame him. It didn't the sound like Raheem Morris blamed him either. It was like just one of those things we've kind of covered. It's like you have rules built in, and the defense's job is to build in a situation where they can take advantage of your rules. You know what I mean? And kind of vice versa. It's like, well, we know they're going to – looks like when they get A-gap pressure, they'll just squeeze down right there. Let's see if we can put Vita Vea in that B-gap. Oh, my God. Bijan's like, no, thanks. I'm good. Just go ahead and hit Kirk. You're good.
And it was kind of like when, you know, we were talking about wrestling earlier. It's kind of like when The Undertaker threw Mankind off the Hell in a Cell. That's what it looked like when Vita Vea came at Bijan Robinson. It was just like, oh, God.
Like, nah,
there's carnage.
Business decision. Nobody blamed him, man. That's a guy that weighs twice as much as you do.
What about Buccaneers defense? Are you talking about issues with Falcons? I mean, the Ravens lit them up for, what, 508 yards? How many yards the Falcons have in that overtime game? 509 by Kirk, so it's got to be approaching 600 yards, too.
Yeah, you had 70-something so on the ground. Yeah. No, look, they got – they haven't – they're as good as they – they're, like, in the top 10 in every number offensively that matters.
Yeah.
Scoring, you know, rushing production, passing production, third downs. You flip it over and – they're at the bottom half of the league in every defensive category. They're allowing 132 yards on the ground, over 250 through the air. They're not getting teams off the field on third down. Their red zone defense is actually middle of the pack.
Well, they play the exact same style that we always talk about. A lot of teams in the NFL are playing.
Yeah, basically, bend, don't break.
We'll let you get to the red zone. Sure. Yeah, you can just walk to the red zone pretty much, but – it's
that's
gonna,
what we clamp down inside
down
the 20. Yep.
Now they are plus one in the turnover, so they're doing well there. They're causing fumbles, and they're picking the ball off. But honestly, we are too. I mean, we're doing an okay job. We're not the best, but we've got five interceptions already this year. We couldn't say that last year.
Or no.
Well, maybe other than Jesse Bates.
Maybe we'll get Bad Baker again this week. Maybe 2 weeks in a row of Bad Baker. Because Bad Baker turned the ball over last week against the Ravens.
Rob had the stat earlier. His first five games, two interceptions.
Yeah.
His last two?
Was it?
Five.
Five, yeah.
So he's in this pressing turn the ball over mode.
Yeah, here's your red zone stat for Tampa. 41.5% of the drives against Tampa, against their defense, have gone to the red zone. That's the third worst mark in the league behind the Panthers and the Cardinals. So you're basically, it's like, yeah, cool, man. Like, you're going to throw underneath. You're not going to be as deep, but you're probably going to make it to the red zone if you don't break a tackle and go the distance. And then we'll try to stop you when we get down there.
How concerned are you with the Ryan Neuzel situation? How much of a step down you got to deal with Vita Vea right there in front of you, whoever's snapping the ball?
I don't think I'd be terribly concerned if it wasn't for the fact that he already struggled with Vita Vea.
Yep.
He struggled with him. I mean, in the run game, you go back and look, he got ragdolled a couple times. And that's a tough block, man, and he's already kind of an undersized guy. Strong.
What is,
you know,
what is Vita Vea? 350?
Yeah.
Well, that's what he's listed at.
Right. You know,
yeah. You know, but I'd have coaches that would say he's a biscuit short of 400. Yeah. And he's already struggled. So that's what worries me. If it was just simply Ryan Neuzel, you know, he's banged up a little bit. You got a tough defensive lineman for him. I'd be go, it is what it is. You know, go out there and play ball. But what I saw last time, they got to have a game plan for that, man.